How many times do I have to say it? Do I need to do it again?
Do it again, please.
Stay off the weed. I have a list of players here. Most of these players are black. Mm. Just a thought. All of these players that have been suspended over the last several years, and a vast majority of them, damn near all of them, are black. Really? Really? Your livelihood, millions of dollars, and you can't stay off the weed? Really?
Did you scan this list? This isn't part of the show. This is just us bullshitting and looking at this list. I feel as though this list trends a little more to the boutique and obscure, and that is my critique of this list. At the same time, as my friend who's 10 feet away points out, I have a kid and I don't watch movies, and so...
It says a lot about lists too, right? I mean, in a way, I think all lists are half ironic now, right? But we did a whole pod segment on this the other day about just how listed out we are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I used to run to the Roger Ebert lists of the movies of the year in days of dial-up internet, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And now when everything is ranked, you know, when best James Bond trailers are ranked, I don't know. I don't care about any rankings anymore.
Yeah. I just don't. Well, Ebert was just such a unique thing. And before he got his internet renaissance, I remember – just being a kid on family vacations where I was in the car and I was reading one of those big white Ebert books of greatest movies of whatever year. And oh man, I loved those.
He was the best. He was funny because he was just mainstream enough that you could understand it at a pretty early age, but he was also, you know, smart enough and a good enough critic that it was like, this is actually good. You know, this is good movie criticism. This isn't my local paper guy who, you know, I realized later had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it, obviously you have to be smart and you have to be good. But I was just talking with Rosillo about this, about why his Tales from the Couch is this cult mini podcast from back in the day. And I think a lot of it is just enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is contagious. And you could tell that Roger Ebert really loved movies in the way that Ryan really loved NBA basketball in a way that was uncommon for broadcasters at that time. And I think that's a lot of what made those lists so good. It's just being able to, he wasn't so cynical or pretentious as to dislike movies or try to fool us. And I think that's part of why he resonated.
There's that. And I would say the companion point to that is he liked regular movies, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, he could appreciate Star Wars. He could appreciate Spider-Man and things like that. And there was a big line between critics at that point in history.
He had the greatest sentence on this. I love this phrase. It's not what a movie is, but how it is about it. That's how he was judging the movie. If this is a raunchy comedy, I'm not going to dismiss this as low culture. I'm judging this according to how good is the movie at trying to execute what it's trying to do. And I think that's the only way to judge a movie.
One of the funniest intermedia fights to read about now is movie critics being mad at Roger Ebert for cheapening movie criticism by doing thumbs up or thumbs down.
Mm.
It was this whole – like I found old issues of Film Comment that like Ebert is in these giant tank battle of an argument with somebody about it. And one that was what was going to cheapen movie criticism, right? The movie criticism was supposed to be 9,000 words in the New Yorker only. And that could only be the only possible way, not a smart discussion on TV. And number two, that in a movie review, you shouldn't give your opinion about whether the person reading should see the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's beyond the pale to say, yes, go see it. No, don't waste your time. Or maybe wait for video, something like that. Like surely that is the, you know, most basic possible unit of a movie review is to tell me whether I should go see the movie. Like, I don't really understand why that was beyond the pale.
Who's the best director working today?
Scorsese.
But even though you look at his last movie with Nick Cage, didn't do well.
Well, so what? It didn't do well because it was too good.
Was it that good?
I thought it was very good. I think that people these days are looking more for irony, and he's not an ironist. I talked about this with Paul Schrader, who has written three or four movies for Marty. And he said, we come out of an age of existentialism, and we're now living in an age of irony, where audiences, instead of seeing a real horror film, they want to go see a scary movie. They want to have the edge. They want to be sarcastic. They want to see the joke. And in a Scorsese movie, it's pretty serious. It's pretty serious.
You always charge a guy with a gun. With a knife, you run away. Charge with a gun. With a knife, you run.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming to the House of Strauss. Hosted by Ethan Strauss, the author of the upcoming book, Victory, a book about the dynasty and also about KD. It's going to be out real soon, April 14th. Going to take you to the moon.
Stepping down on the moon at this point.
That's right, Ethan Strauss. He's writing a book about KD.
Almost like a powder.
I hope KD paid his taxes. This week's guest on the show, from The Ringer, editor-at-large, Mr. Brian Curtis.
It's one small step for man.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
One giant leap for mankind.
We are joined by Brian Curtis of The Ringer, also co-host of the Press Box podcast. And is there anything else that you would want to plug? I'm into plugging at the beginning because otherwise I'll forget. Is there anything else I should be plugging?
Those are the essential elements right there. Okay. You got them.
Okay. And really somebody who does meta criticism of the industry and not just sports, but also politics, a very wide range he presides over. And I wonder, Brian, as we were discussing Roger Ebert being considered a cheapener of his art form only to be heralded later in life, if that is a theme that you sometimes return to, because I read your article on basically how Stephen A. Smith became cool to like. And does he not have the same trajectory of a Roger Ebert as somebody who was thought or criticized as somebody who was cheapening sports criticism or sports journalism? And now people have finally seen the validity in Stephen A. What are your thoughts?
Maybe the same basic arc, I guess.
They're the same.
I don't know that I've ever put them together. But I don't know that anybody. I guess if you read extremely broadly, people are objecting to his style, right? There's something about his. I don't know. Nah, we can't.
If you're giving Stephen A. a thumbs up versus a thumbs down as a Roger Ebert type figure.
Roger Ebert won a Pulitzer, right? So Roger Ebert had the respect of the industry. Let's not go there.
I mean, Stephen A., there's still time for Stephen A. to win a Pulitzer. I don't know for what, but you never know. I really enjoyed your article on Stephen A., and I am a fan of Stephen A., but I don't know if I come to it in the way everybody comes to it. I think Jade and I are very similar in this, where we enjoy the art form of being a sports, for lack of a better word, blowhard, and we see it as great theater. And I don't know if everybody enjoys it that way. Some people might have very sincere, genuine reactions and dislikes of Stephen A. What is your overall theory for why he has stood the test of time?
You put your finger on a little bit, but I think when he comes around and he really becomes – a big figure at ESPN in the 2000s, right? That's his first big run at ESPN before he actually leaves the network. People did not take it as theater. People took it as this is a new way of expressing your opinion about sports versus what was at that point the dominant mode, which was the pretty genteel newspaper column that was just totally different. And to me, so much of the tension of Stephen A. is the world of newspapers giving way to the world of television, okay? Newspapers were not beyond theatricality. They were not beyond trolling. They were not beyond bits. I concede all of that. But it was just a different style of imparting information. And Stephen A., who was a newspaper guy, who came from that place, becomes this big star on ESPN, and all these newspaper guys who see their world slipping away, who see their stranglehold on the sports conversation that they'd had for what, decades and decades at that point, they go, uh-oh, I don't like this. I just don't like this. I don't like it the way he is bidding goodbye to our world and saying this is now where this is now, we're in control now. TV is in control. The opinionator in chief will not be your local sports columnist, but will be the guy on What's Later First Take. And to me, that was just what it was. So people were not appreciating it as theater at that point.
Well, and I think this resentment builds up where TV, it looks easy to do, but not everybody can do it. And it is a rare skill set, in fact. And so I think there's often a resentment of media people who see somebody get wildly successful on television, and they're getting successful in this very naturalistic way where it looks like they're just hanging out, right? And I think there's a tremendous resentment often in those spots. And man, not everybody can do it. It is a skill set. I think of somebody who might have a legitimate critique or two about how the media sphere has swung too much one way politically. Like I think about a Clay Travis, right, where he makes this critique and he is very successful making it in the space that he makes it. And he thinks that when he goes on television, that his market inefficiency is going to just completely, what's the word I'm looking for, volt him to new heights, or he's going to take over TV. I don't think it's happened, because I just don't think, at least not yet, I just don't think he has that skill set. So as much as he might mock, admittedly, my friends, Pablo and Bomani, those two guys are guys who are very experienced being on television and doing television and have that skill set. It's just, it's not something you can just show up and do because you're good in another space.
It was very fashionable 10 years ago when Stephen A. begins to become successful to say all of TV is going to be Stephen A.'s. They're going to be Stephen A. clones starting at 6 a.m. and ending at midnight. And the world of even sports TV, as we know, will change. It turns out he was better than everybody else at it.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't easy.